The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker, sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels, IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler, iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting, Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms, Next Stage, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Ultimate Air Shuttle, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk, our guest today, and I'm so excited because I love when we start conversing about what's going on in the political situation and what's happening in the world and how can we change it. I have with us today author, commentator, TV personality, and radio personality, Dan Perkins. Welcome to our show, Dan.
Good morning, Katherine.
Good morning. Okay. You know, everything is on fire this morning ever since what happened with the congresswoman from New York.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota. Minnesota.
Both. New York and Minnesota.
Both.
And Michigan.
Both. Right.
The three of them. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how they ever got in. I'm still wondering.
Well, you know, that's interesting because this morning, Rasmussen, the polling agency, released a poll result that said 53%, this is a staggering number, 53% of eligible voters agreed with Mr. Trump that there are people in Congress who hate the country.
Mm-hmm.
53% think we have people in the Congress who hate the country. Well, Our lady friend from Minnesota is a Sharia-compliant Muslim. And because America is a country of infidels, meaning non-Muslims, they automatically hate us. So that doesn't surprise me. I'm not surprised because I've written about this. I find it amazing that Ms. Pelosi, who was in the president's office on Christmas Eve with all the bluster that they had won the midterm elections and they were in control, her party is in absolute chaos. She has no control, and now they're saying she's weak and ineffective. So her fortunes turned rapidly, primarily because of these two congresswomen, or three, depending on how you want to say it, but two of them, Michigan and Minnesota, are Muslims. And so the idea, if you understand, you understand the Quran and you understand that assimilation with Christians and Jews is forbidden by the Quran, and anybody who's not a Muslim is an infidel, and a Muslim can lie to them about whatever they want with no consequences, people will begin to understand why this particular woman from Minnesota is trying to change things towards the Quran. And while it says there's only two Muslim women in Congress, she has captured the spotlight, and she's basically challenged Pelosi as Speaker of the House and daring her to try and take her off of this committee. Now, Pelosi has the ability to put things in motion, but technically the Ethics Committee has to review her behavior and make a recommendation to the full House that she should be removed. Now, there is another way, because she is the Speaker of the House and leader of the Democratic Party. The Speaker is the one who is in control of who gets the committee assignments. So she could on her own, Pelosi on her own could remove her, but I don't think she wants to take that risk. But I've said in a commentary that I wrote yesterday that if she gets removed, I would expect to see significant protests in the streets of Washington, D.C. Over her her decision to remove her from the congressional committee seat. And one person is going to disrupt the governmental process again. So it's like Nancy Pelosi is really trying to be the wrangler of a herd of cats, and she thought she was going to be powerful, but she finding out that her power is not as strong as she thought it was.
Now, this latest thing that the gal came out with is against not only Trump, but Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling him a murderer. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah. And so if you're Nancy Pelosi, your somewhat mainstream Democratic Party, she's having difficulty dealing with these radical leftists who really want to change this country to a socialist agenda, to a Muslim agenda, but anything other than what we're doing today. And they don't care. Remember, they don't care who they offend, because their religion says that they can do whatever they want to do when they're dealing with infidels. And we still, as a nation, don't understand the power of that. I mean, this woman said certain things about Israel before she got elected, and within days after she got elected, she recanted all the things she said. That's the provision that allows her to do that under Sharia law in the Quran is called taqiyya. And it's the ability of a Muslim, when they're dealing with infidels, to lie, cheat, and steal, to do whatever they want to do. They also say when you're dealing with a Muslim, you cannot lie, cheat, or steal. But only one other female Muslim in the Congress from Michigan, she's lying to the herd of Christians and Jews, and her religious documents say that she doesn't have to assimilate with them. She's forbidden to assimilate for them. And, you know, the Constitution doesn't say, and some people have this wrong, Constitution doesn't say that you take your oath of allegiance when you are sworn in as a congressman on the Bible. A lot of people think that's true, but it's not. Put your hands on anything. But
what?
She swore on the Quran.
But when she ripped President Barack Obama in the interview that was published Friday, she called him a pretty face, saying his agenda of hope and change was an illusion. She cited the caging of kids at the Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, we can't only be upset with Trump. And, I mean, she's just, first of all, as a Muslim woman, they really aren't in office overseas, are they? I mean, as far as in the Muslim countries, I mean, they're coming about it. Things are changing, but I would think, I don't know. It just bothers me, the thought of her, the hatred that's coming out of her, and the resolution was ridiculous.
Yes.
The Republicans are finally standing up and screaming about it now.
And when you think about that, Catherine, excuse me for interrupting you, I apologize. But
that's all right.
But you're making a really good point that I need to emphasize.
Okay, go ahead.
First, yes, you're correct. When Muslim women in Muslim countries do not hold leadership positions,
that's right.
Elected leadership positions. Let me tell you, she is not permitted to do what she's doing without her husband's support in the United States.
Is she married?
Yes, yes. Well, some people say she married her brother, but that's another story. But yes, so that the male is, even in Muslim countries, I'm sure you've heard the stories where women can't go out without a family member or husband, and they can't drive and all these things. Here, she says she's Sharia compliant, which means she can say these things, but she says them with the support of her husband and her imam in her mosque. That empowers her. If they said to her, no more, she couldn't say anything, period. Or she would no longer be a Muslim. She would not comply with it.
You know what scares me more than anything else when I think about this all these people are walking into congressional offices. They're going in, you know, they're going into the House and whatever. Do we ever worry that some of these people might have something on them that could destroy? I mean, I think of the Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and when you wrote the books or the series, and it's all coming to light. It's so, I feel for my grandchildren and my one little great-grandchild on what's happening to our country before our eyes. And, you know, I wrote something on Facebook or whatever just a day or two ago when somebody suggested that, you know, what was going on. And I said, you know, we're paying their salaries. They work for us. Don't you remember that? That's what half this, I'm beginning to wonder how many people understand the Constitution. I wonder how many people understand government.
Well, that's a great point, Catherine, because our new governor here in Florida is addressing the opening session of our state legislature as the first session him as governor, laid out his agenda of what he wants to accomplish, and he wants to get rid of Common Core. But the most important thing he said about education in the state of Florida. We're going to start teaching civics again.
Yay!
We're going to start teaching the Constitution and government so that our children understand who we are. And in teaching civics, you've also got to teach history. So I have no doubt that he will get that accomplished. There's a lot of people in support of what he wants to do. And when we see the kind of things that are happening with the congressman from Minnesota, we have this passion, at least, and I think it's perhaps more our generation, Catherine, than our children's generation. But one of the legacies is we as parents and grandparents and great grandparents can give to our children is to begin the process of taking back control of the schools and the agenda and making sure that our children understand the Constitution and what the rights and responsibilities are of them as citizens and what people who are elected to office, what they're supposed to do.
Right. I'm going to take a short break, Dan, and we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Dan Perkins and the commentator, the political, I think he's a political activist. I'd be proud to say that. He's a TV and radio commentator and does radio shows, and he is a super author. We'll be right back after these messages.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Are you or someone you love living with chronic kidney disease or on dialysis? NxStage may be able to help you live a healthier, longer life with more frequent home hemodialysis. Home hemodialysis is a different way of doing hemodialysis. Instead of going to a dialysis center, home hemodialysis with NxStage System 1 is performed in the comfort of your own home. The System 1 offers flexible therapy options, including performing your treatments during the day or at night while you sleep, allowing you to spend your day your way. Talk to your doctor to see if home hemodialysis is right for you, or call one of our patient consultants to learn more about your treatment options at 888-200-6456. The NxStage System 1 is a prescription device. All forms of hemodialysis, including treatments performed in-center and at home, involve some risk. In addition, there are certain risks unique to treatment in the home environment and specific to nocturnal use. Patients differ, and not everyone will experience the reported benefits of more frequent home hemodialysis. Call 888-200-6456. Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio? Then you need to get Don Greco's books. He's a wonderful author that wrote the series, The Youngstown Quintet. His latest book is The Maladrin. And the nice thing about his books are they're not about spies. They're not about zombies. They're They're just ordinary people that read, that have extraordinary lives. So visit DonGrecoNovels.com or go buy his books on Amazon.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We are back with Dan Perkins, author, political commentator. He writes commentary for numerous publications online.
He about 18.
18 now. I just can't keep up with you, Dan. When I first met you, you had written actually one book, right?
Right.
First book. See what's happened since I've known you. Anyhow, you know, the thing that really bothers me today is, what's the solution? What can we do besides voting, getting out there, teaching our children, being political, stopping communism and socialism from coming to our country? You know, you can talk about it, but you got to do something about it. Am I right?
Well, that's because of the, yes, but because of the nature of our elected government, the greatest power in the people is the elective process. If we have congressmen who are not willing to stand up and support the Constitution and the law of the land, then we as a people have to replace them with people who are in favor of the Constitution. And we can speak out, and we should, try and engage as many people as we possibly can. As a result of engaging people, we can bring about change. I did a piece, which I sent to you earlier in the week, which illustrates the lack of participation in the government process and what it means. And I did an analysis of AOC's election. And there are 27 congressional districts in the state of New York. Now, let me just premise this by saying that the media has positioned AOC as the new star of the Democratic Party, and with overwhelming support in her district, and she speaks for many, many millions of people in America. That's the narrative that you get from the mainstream media. But the facts come out with something different. 27 districts in the state of New York. In her election, in the primary, now the primaries in New York are party specific. So there's a Democratic Party primary and a Republican Party primary. In the 15th district of New York, there are approximately 473,000 registered Democrats. So 473,000 people had the ability to go to the polls in the primary to select a candidate. She got a total of 15,000 votes. So 15,000 people out of almost 500,000 Democrats in her district voted for her. Not more than anybody else. She got a total of 15. So she got the nomination to run for the representative of the Democratic Party in the 27th or the 14th congressional district, because she got 10,000. She got 15,000 votes. Now move forward to the general election. General election, because of the nature of the Constitution, we have 435 districts in the United States. All of them roughly between 700 and 710,000. So she's got about 690,000 eligible voters in her district, the 14th. In the general election, she gathered a total of 110,000 votes. She was 26 out of the 27 districts in terms of winning by the margin. She missed last place by 9,000 votes. And so her percentage of the electorate that voted for her in her district compared to the rest of the state of New York, she ranked 16th out of 27. So hardly a mandate. And yet one would think that based on the way the media has positioned her.
Mm-hmm.
But what the numbers say, Catherine, is that 10,000 people put her on the ballot. 100,000, 110,000 out of almost 700,000 gave her the seat. And she was 26th out of 27th in the state of New York. So what I'm using these numbers, Catherine, to reinforce what you're saying is that we need to vote, and we need to get people to come out and vote. And when you bring about change on a vote count that starts at 15,000 votes out of 700, and you start to bring about change there, it shows lack of interest in the electoral process. Mm-hmm. By the vast majority of the Democratic Party in that district. And so we have people who are not, NPR said about the midterm election, it's the highest turnout in 50 years. 47% of the American people voted in the midterm election. 47, which meant that 53% said nothing. As long as we have a minority of people voting in this country, then a small number of people with a small number of electoral votes can get control of the country. We have to start teaching our children that it is their duty to vote.
That's for sure. You know, I am very close to my kids. I know you are too.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandchildren. And it's really refreshing to hear them talk about politics and about, I'm lucky because my kids were taught history and they were taught civics. My kids are in their 50s, right? 40s, late 40s and early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But what amazes me is not just their children, but, you know, what happens to their grandchildren, especially I have ones that are in California. And it's just so sad what's happening at all these different colleges, especially, was it Berkeley where that young man got attacked? Am I
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
In the face, I mean.
And it wasn't even the boy who attacked him wasn't even a student in the college.
Now, does that, I mean, when I saw him beat him basically up and hit him in the face, I thought to myself, you know, are these professors that socialistic that they just don't care about the students that go to school there?
I think that's a very keen observation. I think it what they are most concerned about is their agenda.
That's it.
Not about the students, but their agenda.
Right. I think we've become, you know, I was talking to a nurse the other day about people coming into ICU. It used to be that only one member, I'm just showing this as an example, only one person or two people could be in the ICU at one time. Now, today, they're placating the family, not the patient, but the family, by letting everybody in because they're afraid that they're going to get, you know, the nurses and others feel like they're going to get written up if they don't do that. Now, that's where our society is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep.
I mean, I almost want to put some of these people that we've been talking about on an island somewhere and let them live. You know, I'd love to see them go and live in that wonderful country of Venezuela that is such a socialist mess I've ever seen. They just don't get it. And the funny thing is, all these different ones that are socialist, like AOC and Bernie Sanders...
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders owns 4 palatial homes, and his wife is kind of not. They're looking her at some of the things that she's done in the past. Okay,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
and I noticed the other day when I was because I watch the news like you do every day, and I see new outfits on AOC, who's got so much money it makes me ill. And the sad part about it is they want to take it from everyone, but guess what? They're not going to live under those standards.
Right. Right.
That
she's under, you may have read the story that she's under investigation from the
yes.
Federal Election Commission of theft of campaign funds to the tune of about $1 million.
And
what's interesting was how the media reacted to that. They went to her, and she simply said, it's not true, and the media dropped the story. Now, the Federal Election Commission can't drop the story, but the media gave her a chance, and she said, not true. Again, you know, it's interesting when you think about it. If you look at politicians and people involved in government, when they lie, eventually they're going to get found out. I mean, look at Cohen. He lied again on his testimony this week that he said he never sought a pardon, and 2 days later, Laney Watkins comes out and says, well, that's not quite true. So he lies to Congress again. He's convicted to lying to Congress. Is he going to get convicted again to lying to the Congress? Depends on whether or not Mueller decides to go after him again. But we don't have to tell the truth, and that's part of the problem. That's what I was saying about earlier when we were talking about the lady from Minnesota. When you're Sharia compliant Muslim, you're dealing with infidel. You don't have to tell the truth, and we have a lot of people who are not telling the truth who are not Muslims in Congress and in the government, and that speaks to another issue, and that is the value proposition of what morals and what values do the people we have in office, regardless of whether it's state, federal, or local, what do they have about and their feelings towards their constituency? Are we something that they have to tolerate?
That's frightening really when you think about it. Think about it. Who was it that was on the news? I can't think of it. It's a news report. I can't think of it. Where he's a comedian that said, well, only the West Coast and the East Coast, you know, like New York and California count. The rest of the country, just a mess. Just forget them. They're really not important. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, but we are.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole deplorable situation, which Hillary said in your city during the campaign, that 42% of Trump supporters are deplorables, in a basket of deplorables. And I believe that the Democrats still believe that. And that as you said, the flyover country are full of nothing but deplorables. They have no culture. They have no sophistication. I just think that there is a disdain for the people from the people on the coast to the people in the majority of the country, and it's the majority of the country. Somebody made a comment yesterday I thought was really interesting. Under the current Electoral College rules, California, at least at the moment, depending on what happens with the census, but right now they've got about 52 votes. No matter how many illegals they bring into the state of California, the most they're ever going to have is 52 votes. So illegal immigration doesn't help the Democrats in states that are already blue and are going to vote blue, because we don't elect presidents based on popular vote. Now, I know that the Democrats are trying to change that, but I don't believe that's ever going to happen. So you put another 5 million illegals in California, you get 5 million more illegal votes, all Democrat, not going to change the outcome of the 52 delegates that the state of California has to the election of the president. So that's one thing that works in their favor. But you know, it's interesting. This week, another thing was interesting was the Senator Blumenthal was asking questions of the director of security for the border. Blumenthal made the statement. He said, well, you know, sir, records indicate that illegal immigration is at a 10-year low. And the gentleman says, excuse me, Senator, you're wrong. You got it just backwards. It's at a 10-year high. And Blumenthal just basically fell apart. He didn't know. He had a talking point, but he didn't have anything in his hand or his brain to deal with it when the governmental administrator said, no, sir, you're wrong. It's actually the other way around. And this whole idea that the Democrats think we don't have a problem at the border, I mean, it's another example of not making the right decisions for the country, and that
right.
for their own self-interest.
And you know, that's the reason why we really need to have term limits, seriously. And we really need to put this forward, Dan, because what we're getting is people that stay in office forever, number one. I think that, here's my prediction, the Democratic Party as we know or we knew it is gone. Mm-hmm. It will implode within the next year or two. And we will have a centrist party or another type of a party system, okay? And it's amazing what these young people that are young Democrats, actually they're socialists, and I think they should declare themselves a socialist instead of being Democrats, mm-hmm. and I think that should change.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stand Biden, Pelosi, anybody that's been in office prior to them. I mean, they have disdain for these people, especially when you come out and say, and I didn't like Obama, okay, but mm-hmm. when you come out and you criticize former presidents,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, you heard McCain on, I heard bits and pieces of The View the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, my dear, McCain was so much not a Republican in the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's similar to the doctor from Kentucky. That,
Rand Paul.
Yeah, Rand Paul. He was here this week. And I have to tell you, I'm beginning to wonder, why do they keep voting him into office? I mean, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. He's crazy. So on that note, I need to take a short break, and I will be
okay.
We'll be right back. Give your website out, Dan, which is important.
DanPerkins.guru, G-U-R-U.
All right, and we'll be gone. No, we'll not be gone. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Ricker of Let's Just Talk. Did you ever find yourself rummaging through the clutter in your cupboards of plastic containers with no matching lids? Well, I have the solution for you, and that is the Bagwell, created by another busy mom who understood that necessity is the mother of invention. It is so easy to use, and you don't need that extra set of hands because you already have it with the Bagwell. Go to thebagwell.com and get your Bagwell. It's $6.99 on sale.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it for no additional cost. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web today by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
One of the greatest barbecue sauces ever has landed in Cincinnati. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is a barbecue sauce like no other, and they have plenty of different flavors for every occasion. Be sure to try the Skip Kenny Spicy Barbecue Sauce, Skip Kenny Sweet Barbecue Sauce, and of course, the Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce with secret ingredients. If the sauce isn't enough for you, you'll love Skip Kenny's Barbecue Rub. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is available at Jungle Gyms in Fairfield and in Eastgate.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We are back with Dan Perkins, political commentator, author, television personality, co-founder of Songs and Stories for Soldiers, working with the VA, working with veterans, caring about our country. Dan, tell me what you predict or will predict about what's going to happen in the next year, or what do you think is going to happen?
There are certain things that are going on that I think that the the conservative media, by and large, conservative media has wrong. The conservative media believes that the Nader hearings and the other hearings and all the investigations that are going on in the House are set up for an impeachment of Donald Trump in his second term. So they're conceding that he's going to get reelected, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that I have with the analysis is I don't doubt that he's going to be elected and reelected.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem I have with their analysis is that makes a terrible assumption. And that assumption is that the Democrats
mm-hmm.
are going to control the House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they are. I think they're going to lose it in one term.
I think so, too.
So all of this work and money that's being spent by these congressional committees to reinvestigate what Mueller's already done. And by the way, everybody keeps talking about, well, it's going to drop this week. It's going to drop this week. No, it isn't going to drop. Mueller's going to stay around. I mean, he cannot hand in his final report when he has open investigations with people that have not been resolved. And so whether it's Corsi or whoever, I don't believe he's going to turn in a report and let those cases, those indictments drop. So I don't believe he's not going to be done prior to the 2020 election.
I have a question for you, Dan. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But why can't we stop what the Democrats are doing about all these different investigations because of the money that they're spending, the time they're wasting? These are our taxpayer dollars that are being wasted for nothing.
Right.
How do we stop
Because the Democrats have control of the House.
Mm-hmm. Don't we have any say?
No, none whatsoever. That's the process.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could, but
wish we could just cut their salaries or something.
That's not going to stop them from spending tens of millions, if not
of our dollars. No, I know that. The sad part is some of them people don't realize how much money they make each year. You know, even when they retire.
Yes, that's true, but I also think that. The other issue that we haven't talked about,
uh-huh.
and
Go
I know
ahead.
We don't have a lot of time.
No, you do. Go ahead.
The other issue is the issue of the absolute level of hate in the country today.
Uh-huh.
And so why are we not changing anything? Because there is a certain number of people who tend to be very vocal who who actually hate the president and want to do anything they possibly can to either get rid of him or stymie his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how they feel. So they don't care how much money we spend or how much disruption or if we try and destroy the country. It's not important to them. I wonder, we saw what happened when Donald Trump was elected the first time and the protests and everything else that happened the next day.
Mm-hmm.
What are the Democrats going to do if, in the 2020 election, not only is Donald Trump reelected, but reelected in a landslide.
Mm-hmm. Start a civil war? Start a civil war, maybe?
I suppose that's where I'm asking the question. I don't really understand why what they're going to do. I mean, there was a movie a number of years ago about an invasion from Mars, and they found that the one way to kill the aliens was play them rock and roll with music and their heads exploded. I see that and I'm wondering, gee, is that what's going to happen if Donald Trump wins re-election? All those people who hated Donald Trump are going to be so exacerbated their heads are going to explode?
Now, here's my question. Why don't they find an island somewhere or another area and just move there? They don't have to stay here.
No, they don't, but they like to stay here because it's very lucrative to stay here. And
Well, not if you think about the Green Deal. It's not going to be lucrative.
Oh, that's true. That's the Green Deal or the taking the taxes to 72%.
That's crazy. I mean, what does she think? She thinks she's not going to be taxed?
No. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. She hasn't thought it out. Democrats are warming up to the idea of calling her an idiot. And when she first came out, again, the news media had her being the darling of the Democrat and the future of the party.
Mm-hmm.
As she's opened her mouth more and more and she's done other things, her star is tarnishing a little bit. And the question is, will the power of the mainstream, middle of the road, or more conservative Democrats
mm-hmm.
get rid of them? And I don't know. I really don't know whether they have the stomach to want to do that or not. Only time will tell.
Well, I think here's what I think is going to happen. I think people, after the whole thing in Virginia with
mm-hmm.
the idea of having, you know, killing a baby, actually, after
mm-hmm.
it's born, people are starting to see, and their, you know, religious pastors and different churches are getting behind not that, but against it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be
pressure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's going to be lots of pressure from people. The more people I talk to, the more I find out that they are standing up against it. There's an organization named, I'm trying to think, it's No More, or, you know, something like Can't Take It Anymore, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're standing up and saying, no more, no more. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, did you know that Gosnell was shut down to audiences all over the country because they didn't want that to come out? They didn't really want to. You have to buy it today to see it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was in Philadelphia,
right,
where thousands of babies were in trash cans. They were in bottles. They were in everything. Give me a break here. These were live babies that they put in garbage cans.
Right.
So what if
they put on a shelf in a closet to die?
Yeah, they wanted to shove it in the closet to die, and they don't care. So
right. What's
going to happen to our generation? And want to snuff us out too? Hello? And the whole debate on national health is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
To put people on Medicare? Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They haven't lived in countries where national health is not surviving.
Yeah, I think I wrote in a commentary this week that I think that the two principal issues
mm-hmm.
In the 2020 campaign are going to be illegal immigration and abortion.
Mm-hmm. I think so,
too. Those are going to be the two things. And I agree with you. I don't think that the left nor the media understands the reaction of the Americans to this idea of this new concept of post-birth abortion. And so I think it may have turned into a watershed. You know, how do we get people engaged? How do we get people thinking about issues? Maybe this is the first issue that America begins to address, and that's the value of our children. And maybe that becomes the catalyst to turn things around. I don't know, but I know it is a problem that has created a momentum that's rapidly growing in the United States, and I just think it's there. The left doesn't see it coming.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I'm finding more and more of my African-American friends
mm-hmm.
that were at one time Democrats that have turned to becoming Republicans and are
mm-hmm.
educating Carol Swain, a professor that was actually in the movie Dinesh put out. She is educating people like nobody else. She used to be a Democrat. And, you know, the funny thing is I had Dr. Randy Short on a couple weeks. He's coming on in the next couple weeks because I pre-taped it. And he is one of the people that's standing up in Washington, D.C. and educating African-Americans and minorities on what Planned Parenthood really was, what abortion really is, and why Planned Parenthood was originally started. It was,
right.
You and I both know, it was started to eliminate black children and the black race.
And I would say to your audience, and I think you may have them on your website, but in case you don't, there were two articles that I wrote for Clash Daily.
Mm-hmm.
One was in introducing the new Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger was the founder and the creator of this, what we call Planned Parenthood and the attack on the black communities,
mm-hmm.
women and their children. And the second one, putting lipstick on a pig doesn't change it from being a pig.
That's
and
right.
That particular one is very important for your audience to read because I believe, just like when I wrote the Brotherhood of the Red Nile, the first one, I believe that vast majority of America didn't understand Sharia or the Quran. I don't think the vast majority of Americans, if you ask them this question, can you describe a second trimester or third trimester abortion procedure? They couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
In that article is the medical description of first, second, and third options in second and third trimester abortions. People need to read that to understand the brutality, the cruel, the barbarism that we are doing, and nobody's talking about it. And we need to understand how vile the process is.
Right. And the other thing is that, you know, if they ever got control, they'd wipe out seniors. They would. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand socialism, you really, really need to go back to school or you really need to educate yourself. Because what's going on in Venezuela today is on television. You can
mm-hmm.
see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so cruel what they're doing to their people
mm-hmm.
that people don't understand that. They
yeah,
feel sorry for them.
I said to many people, in interviews, I said, when's the last time that you heard a government described in terms of the number of pounds their population has lost in the last 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
Venezuela population in 2018 lost an average of 25 pounds per person because of lack of food.
Right. They're starving them. You know, it's the
mm-hmm.
same. It's the same thing in North Korea. I mean, when you look around at communist countries everywhere, nothing good has come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't take away from the rich and everybody else and put everybody on the same level. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in China. It's happened in every country where they've gone to socialism or communism and
mm-hmm.
not the free market. So it's really sad that they're so jealous of the free market. It's scary
right.
when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to not have an airplane to fly in. I'm sorry. And I'm still going to have a beefsteak. And I am not giving up my hard-earned dollars to do what they want to do. I mean, give me a
right.
break. That's going back in time instead of forward. Hello.
Right. I agree.
So, you know what? I want to have you on again. We have run out of time. It's just been thrilling to listen to you. And you can find all of your information and everything up on my website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Also, I post it out on all my social media, by the way, which I think
okay.
is really important. You are going to be heard on everything I have, which is
okay.
pretty exciting today. And I want to thank you again for your service, Dan. I mean that. For what you're doing to educate people is amazing. Thank you for your service.
I try. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's
you're welcome.
Pleasure.
And don't forget to go to your website at
danperkins.guru.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker. Sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels,
IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler. iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting. Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms. Next Stage, Skip Kenny Barbecue. Songs and Stories for Soldiers. Ultimate Air Shuttle. And Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.